a long passage. A lot happens. And we're just going to have a look at some misunderstandings, when misunderstandings take control. And how many times in our life have we looked at the right way to do things only to find that somebody else has misunderstood what we've said or what we meant to say or what we meant to do, and suddenly things happen and we think, that wasn't meant to happen, that's not what I meant to say, that's not what I meant, how I meant to put it across, that wasn't what I had planned right from the start. And when we look at Paul, and you've been looking at Paul, and you've been looking through the Acts so far, Paul had a plan, it seems. And so he knew what he wanted to do, and most of the time it worked. Quite often things went against him, and he ended up in different places, doing different things, but all the time doing God's will wherever he went. And we look in verse 17 that... work. Sorry if you get seasick. He went on to Jerusalem, the capital city, the place where the temple was. And that was the place that everybody wanted to be. That was the place that you needed to go to be in that place. And he arrives in Jerusalem. If anybody gets seasick watching this, just tell me and I'll stop pushing the buttons. But he arrives in Jerusalem and he meets with the believers and he gives them a report because people want to know what's going on. We've already heard this morning that actually you don't really need to meet everybody, but it's good to meet everybody. But you don't need to meet to find out what's going on. If you're on Facebook, how many people here are on Facebook or the internet or social networking or whatever? Most of us. So and those that aren't get phone calls from people that are saying, did you hear what happened at the weekend or whatever? So we've seen about, you know, how quickly news travels. We've seen that with Gordon and Penny right across the world, we're still in contact with them. And, you know, if you're not on Facebook, I'm sorry, but I'm telling some of Gordon's secrets here. He's sitting by the Sea of, or was sitting by the Sea of Galilee, listening to the archers. But news travels. But it's good to actually arrive somewhere and tell people of what is going on. I'd love to tell you what's going on in Norfolk, but that's not what I'm here for. But Paul arrived in Jerusalem and told everybody what was going on. And everybody welcomed him and gave him a hearty welcome. So at the moment, Paul's in a really good place. There's no misunderstandings at all at this point. He went with other colleagues. He went with James. He went with Luke, because it says, we went up. It wasn't Paul saying it. It was Luke saying this. We went up. Paul went up with us to James. But the elders were present. And it's good to have people in authority when you're speaking, because if there's things go wrong and misunderstandings could happen, at least there are people there to turn around and say, when you said this or when you said that, what did you actually mean? And there are people to collaborate what you've actually said. There's no mention here of any of the other disciples, so whether at this point they're away on missionary trips or somewhere else in another part of the country, or maybe some of them even dead. But here they are with the apostle, with the elders reporting back on what's going on. Then he turns round and says a little bit more. And at this point, that's the warm welcome they received. Verse 20. He's going to go to the council and be told what's... Oh... No. It's going to crash, isn't it? See, this is what happens when you do something quickly. Exit, escape. You didn't want to do that, Kevin. If I do that, yeah, well, it might come up in a minute. Forget that. So he gives this good report, and all the elders were present. He also says that there were many thousands there among the Jews. Why are there so many people there? I'm confused as to where I actually am now, apart from being Duncan Road. Because yesterday we were in Eastleigh, and then Fareham? Are we still in Fareham? Now, where were we? Walsash or something? And now we're in Fareham's, and I'm sort of trying to picture it where we are on the map, and how big Fareham is. Fareham's quite a big place, yeah? Yeah? If you live here, you're going, yes, it's quite big. But there are thousands of people in Jerusalem, and they've all come there to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And so there they all are. And while all these things are going on, Paul is speaking to everybody, and he thinks he's got it all okay, and he thinks he's got it all together, and there's no misunderstandings, and he can go about whatever he's doing. But then we have the first of these, what I sort of not sure whether they're misunderstandings, when these misunderstandings arise. And there are three things that, did he need to go to Jerusalem? Did he need to go to Jerusalem at Pentecost? You know, if you don't want things to happen, or you don't want to meet people, you don't want any trouble, go where there are no people. So don't go at the busiest time when all the people are going to be there. But he chooses to go at Pentecost. I've got to find the right verse now. He's told to go with the four and to be purified. And if he hadn't gone with the four to be purified, he wouldn't have been at the temple in the first place. And it says that at the end of being there for 7 days, and you sort of think to yourself, well, why don't you do it all on the first day? You know, after 7 days, word gets around and people will start to hear things and do things and whatever else. So maybe sometimes we need to do things and think about what the consequences are, because otherwise misunderstandings could happen. But sometimes we need to think about things, and sometimes, well, not sometimes, all the time, it's God's will that we should do what we need to do, and God has a plan and God has a purpose for us. So when we arrive in verse 20... and he's going to tell them fully about it. Many thousands of Jews that are there. I go to the right page. They've all been glorified, but they're zealous for the law. And we're zealous for the law. We have this word, the Bible. And as Christians, we study it. We look at it. And we're doing a study on Romans. And it's taking a long time because we're studying it on Wednesdays. And we don't meet every Wednesday to study it. And you're studying Acts. And so, is it 21 weeks or... and the rest. But you'll know all about Acts when you've finished. But in the Bible, you know, it says here where it says, they are zealous for the law. In the Bible, the law for Jews, the Torah, is the first 5 books of the Bible. And when Jesus is tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he doesn't quote Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. He doesn't quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They haven't been written yet. What does he quote? He quotes from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy. You shall have no other God except me. Do not tempt the Lord your God. He quotes from what he knows. He quotes from the law. So Jesus knows the law, and maybe that's an example for us, that if we don't want to get misunderstood, if we want to be grounded firmly in the Word, we need to study the Old Testament as much as we study the New Testament. And again, I was sharing yesterday, I think it was with Naomi, that I did a holiday club last year, and I was very surprised when the youngsters at this holiday club didn't know any memory verses, and I thought, this is a shame. And I spoke to the leader of the church that all these youngsters came from, and he said, oh no, we don't do memory verses in our church. You know, what's the point? They get it all out of context. They don't understand. But ask them about reciting Psalm 63. And these youngsters would just recite whole passages, whole chapters of the Bible. And because he didn't want them to be misunderstood. So we need to be zealous for the law, to understand what is written in God's word. But the problem about being zealous as well is that some people are overzealous. And we hear about some zealots in the Bible. Can anybody think of one of the disciples who was a zealot? Simon the zealot. And what would a zealot want to do? they'd want to kill the people that are oppressing them, that are having a go at the Jews. And so for the Jews, the zealots, they were the good guys, because their understanding was the only good Roman was a dead Roman. And so they'd be there thinking they were doing the right thing, and because that's what the Bible says. So Paul had to teach these people. But he was teaching them as he knew the Bible from a Jesus perspective. He wasn't teaching them necessarily from a Old Testament perspective. Was he teaching them law, or was he teaching them grace? And we need to take both of these. We need to be of the Word and of the Spirit. And he told them not to forsake all of these things. The four people, the four men, is that a misunderstanding that he should go with these guys that have made a 7-day vow not to cut their hair? You know, who was the Nazarite in the Old Testament? Samson. And his vow was never to cut his hair. The misunderstanding he had was telling what his, not what his secret was, but what his vow was, that if his hair was cut, he would lose all of his strength. So here we have these four guys who have got this this vow that they've made, that they're going to go up to the temple and show who they are because of what they've done. Verse 22. Oh, good, I haven't missed it. So I'll just make sure I haven't missed a bit there. So in verse 25, they write to the council. Concerning the Gentiles, we've written and decided they should observe no such thing. Again, this whole thing of the Jews were upset because Paul was a Jew. They knew that Paul was a Jew. Was Paul on their side? Was Paul on the side of the Jews? Was Paul on the side of the Gentiles? They weren't sure. They didn't know, because there was this potential time lapse of things that were going on. Paul hadn't been in Jerusalem for a while. He'd been up in Asia. And up in Asia, the Jews had heard everything that he'd been speaking. And so when they came down to Pentecost, and all the Jews from Asia have come down to Jerusalem for Pentecost, all of these things are said about what's happening. He's brought this man, whose name I can't pronounce, to tell them what's going on. And Trophimus. That'll do, won't it? Trophimus, the Ephesian, all of these things. And again, there's misunderstanding. He brought Greeks, he brought Gentiles into the temple. That's the misunderstanding, because, yes, you're allowed to. There are places you can go in the temple. And it's as if these people are saying, you know, he's done this, and he shouldn't have done it. But actually, if you get to the bottom of it. So make sure that to avoid misunderstandings, we get to the bottom of everything. And then what I class as the scary part in this, having had all these accusations towards Paul and all of these things going on, that Paul could at any point turn around and say, hang on a minute, and he does, because he turns around, it says, with a gesture, he motions them. Any school teachers here? Any school teachers? No? School teachers seem to have a gesture that sort of goes like that, and everything is silent. And you sort of wonder sometimes, why does Paul let things go on so far before he says anything, before he does anything? Because there are times when Paul, who knows he's a Roman citizen, knows that things shouldn't happen to him because he's a Roman citizen. And he keeps on going on about all of these things. And the 7 days were ended. The Jews see him, the Jews from Asia see him, they lay hands on him, they cry out and they try and stir up everybody to get rid of him, and they're seeking to kill him, And so what happens? In an area in the temple, there's a fort, a Roman garrison, and from that fort out come all of the soldiers to arrest Paul. And I'm not sure whether they're doing it for Paul's protection or to appease the Jews, but it says that they tie him, or they chain him up with two chains, and the commander asks who he is. You know, it's one of these things where let's judge the man before they've actually done the thing. So there he is. He's been chained up. Who is it? Why are we chaining him up? But they take him away, and as he's taken into the barracks, they reach the stairs. The crowds have got too much, and then they have to pick Paul up and carry him away. And at that point, Paul turns round and he says, "Can I speak to you?" You sort of think, how far would Paul let it go before? You know, how much of a misunderstanding has all of this been before Paul turns round and says, "Hang on a minute, can I just speak to you?" You know, how far do we go sometimes in our lives before we turn round and say to people, "Listen, can I tell you about Jesus?" Or do we just turn around and say, "Let's just get carried along with the crowd and let's never tell anybody anything"? So here's Paul, and he turns round and says, as he's about to be led into the barracks, "May I speak to you?" And the commander says, "Can you speak Greek?" I don't know what language he's speaking here. Was he speaking in Greek or whatever? I don't speak. The only language I speak and not very well is German. So I'd understand if somebody asked me in German. But the commander knows about some things that have been happening in the news and things that have happened around. And he says, "Are you not the Egyptian?" So maybe you should have said, "Do you speak Egyptian?" But "are you not the Egyptian who some time ago raised an insurrection and led 4,000 assassins into the wilderness?" But Paul said, "No, I'm a Jew from Tarsus, a citizen of no mean city. I implore you to let me speak to the people." And all of these misunderstandings, all of these things that have happened to Paul. And Paul, I think, could have turned round and avoided all of the misunderstandings. He could have done things in a different way. He could have thought about what he was doing, why he was doing it, when he was doing it, and said things in a different way so that people wouldn't have misunderstood him. But, and I think this to me is the big but, what did God have planned? We have so many plans, and we have so many things that we say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. But actually, what we need to do is listen to God. And we might get misunderstood sometimes, just like Paul was misunderstood. And we need to know when to speak, just like Paul turned round and said, "Permit me to speak to the people." And I'd like to go on, but that's next week's talk, I think. So, misunderstandings. Do they happen? Yes. Do they happen all the time? Probably. Could we solve them? Sometimes. Are we doing God's will? I hope so. And if we're doing God's will, even though misunderstanding sometimes happens, I believe that God is in it and we can overcome through that. Thank you all for listening. Let's just